Yet another trade war escalation. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. China today boosted its tariff on American products to 125%, retaliating to the 145% U.S. tariffs on Chinese imports. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer tells Fox, despite that,
I think the economic fundamentals of our country are still very, very good.
A report this morning shows wholesale inflation declined last month. The day after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the government must work to facilitate the return of a deported legal resident. There's a hearing in Maryland. Kilmer Abrego Garcia was sent to a jail in El Salvador last month, and while the Trump administration admits a clerical error allowed that, it still insists that Garcia is a gang member who should stay in El Salvador. A federal judge in Louisiana, meanwhile, may rule today on whether a legal resident the U.S. is trying to deport can stay here or not. Mahmoud Khalil, accused of being a Hamas terror sympathizer for leading destructive anti-Israel protests at Columbia University last year.
This is basically going to set the precedent on whether the federal government is able to successfully deport these students who participated in these protests.
Fox's Brooke Taylor outside the court in Louisiana says Secretary of State Marco Rubio is leading this.
Rubio reiterating that he's using an immigration law that lets him deport any alien considered a threat to U.S. foreign policy.
Now, the U.S., meanwhile, has an American back from a Russian jail, Ksenia Karolina, thanking President Trump for the prisoner swap that set her free in a video she made right after landing last night back in the U.S. The president reposted it on Truth Social.
I never felt more blessed to be American, and I'm so, so happy to get home. Thank you.
Welcome home.
Thank you so much.
Karolina was arrested while visiting family in Russia, where she's a dual citizen, over a $52 donation she made here in the U.S. to a charity in Ukraine. And today, European countries pledged to send billions of dollars worth of additional military aid to help Ukraine battle Russia. America's listening to Fox News.
All of us need to be prepared to defend ourselves and our families, and we need to start with the less lethal option to avoid the legal complications associated with firearms. Byrner has their less lethal pistol launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition. It is designed to incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity. Right now, you'll get 10% off. Let me tell you this Byrner story. Bob was at home. An intruder physically forced his way inside. Now, luckily, Bob had just received his Byrner 4 days prior to this incident, and he used it to get the man outside and off of his property. Byrna, it's legal in all 50 states. There's no background check needed. It can be shipped directly to your door. Now see the powerful technology that is Byrna. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity. Right now, you'll get 10% off. That's byrna.com/Hannity.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Danielle Brooke North. The Yuma County Board of Supervisors have unanimously approved the installation of more broadband towers. These towers will help the agricultural industry have better internet and therefore allow the industry to continue to grow. This then leads to more access for better technology, such as implementing the use of artificial intelligence. There will now be an additional 7 towers built, making it a total of 34. And a custodian at Arizona Western College is getting national recognition and is now in the running for a major award. Jennifer Atkin has been a familiar face at AWC for 5 years. Now she's one of 10 national finalists for the 2025 CINTAS Custodian of the Year Award. Atkin says no matter what she does it to the best of her ability. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Danielle Burke-North.
Average high this time of year should be 87. We have unseasonably hot temps for the weekend, starting with the hottest day of the week today. Sunny and 102 on Friday, 65 for tonight. 98 and sunny tomorrow, 64 tomorrow night. Sunny and 95 on Sunday.
Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis, senior wealth advisor. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Rah, rah. Roma, Roma, ma, ga, ga, ooh, la, la, what you been romance, ga, ra, ah, 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 Roma.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here. Tom Rush, George Davis.
Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. In here on a nice Friday. Someone told me it's supposed to break 100 a day, so hopefully that doesn't stay that long. But another Friday in Yuma. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom. Yeah, what do you mean doesn't stay that long? We're almost coming into the summer, my friend.
No, I know, but maybe we'll get another week or so where it stays under 100.
Yeah, you're going to be out golfing out here today, coming. Too. It's a big tournament today for golf.
The PK Hodges, golf tournament. That's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Two-day tournament.
They do a lot for the community.
Friday, Saturday.
Money into it,
it's a fun golf tournament.
Yeah, so it's 2 days. Good. Yeah.
So, anyways, as we wrap up towards tax year, April 15th, or maybe it's April 17th, with the weekend, there's a couple things people can still do to take action. And, just like taking action on your money or even taking action on your physical, exercise. Mm-hmm. Taking action is the name of the game, right?
Yeah.
He who wants to get in shape or lose weight, if you take action, could happen.
Yeah.
No action.
Take action with a plan.
No action won't happen.
With a plan to continue the action, or how are you going to...
Sure, yeah.
Implement the...
Focus action's better than just,
Than just action.
Random action, Well, it's the same way with your money. So a lot of the things about being successful and having a good retirement is just taking action. Don't have to think a lot. One of the things I see some people do is they don't understand it completely because it's a new, new area for them. So they get too entwined with a million questions and they do nothing. So my theory is simplify, take action. And then as you take action, you can learn as you go. But if you think you're going to sit there and, figure it all out like 100% and then I'm going to put my money in,
mm-hmm.
those people are the biggest crutch to themselves because they just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's hard to be right even one time. And you always say you got to be right twice in this type of market with the volatility. If you're trying to decide when to sell and then when to buy back in, it's hard enough just to try to time the bottom.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking that because that's a whole nother buy-sell timing. I'm talking about, if someone opened up a Roth IRA, what do I do with the money? Well, you got, a million choices technically. Mm-hmm. And then they dive into, how much in stocks, bonds, and, what's my risk tolerance? Mm-hmm. And then you get 100 more questions, and then they just don't do it.
And how much do I need to put in and be consistent in putting in and dollar cost averaging in? Because some people start the action and then don't continue with it, which is just as important.
Well, the biggest thing we see, too, is a lot of people will start putting money in monthly through their bank account, which you can set up an automatic deduction. And then when the market starts going out of favor, like it has the last month, then they call in. They're like, "Hey, I want to stop that because I'm losing money,"
mm-hmm.
which is completely defeats the purpose of dollar cost averaging, which is buying over time, and over time you get to buy those dips.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so the first thing you could do before April 15th is make an IRA contribution, so a Roth IRA or just a taxable pre-tax IRA contribution. So that's one thing that people don't do. You can do up to $8,000 per person if you're over 50 and $7,000 if you're under 50.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, if they're married, that's $16,000 a year or $14,000 a year. But guess what? If you do that over 10 years and the count doubles, which it should, you're talking about $250,000.
Yeah.
So baby steps, right? Just get mm-hmm. a plan and implement it.
Especially in a Roth, Tom, because the Roth deferred and comes out tax-free as long as you abide by the rules. The five-year plan and 59 and a half. So that compounding interest and the double and the, maxing it out is a big deal.
Yep.
So,
and for the business owner, what you can do before April 15th is establish a solo 401k. They used to have you have to do the paperwork and such by December 31st, and then you can fund it afterwards. But they've changed that rule, so you don't even have to do any paperwork until you fund it. So we still have, another couple of days to fund a solo 401k. So that's something I would also look at.
Mm-hmm. And the important thing there is it's going to be for a sole proprietor. If you're a self-employed business owner with no employees, you can do a solo 401k. Or if you have, your family member or spouse working with you.
Yeah. Those rules to a lot of these things. So, not to get into them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, that people can do, which really would help from a tax standpoint, is do the Arizona tax credit. I mean, you can do like four or five different organizations, and all you're doing is redirecting the Arizona state tax from the state to these organizations. But a lot of them, you also get a discount because it's like making a contribution to a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that you can implement pretty quick here because you're talking
Tuesday.
Less than a week. Tuesday's the deadline.
Yeah, Tuesday's the deadline, 15th.
Yeah.
Sometimes it falls on a weekend and you get that extra day or two, but this time it didn't. So it's right on Tuesday.
Okay.
Bless you, Russ.
Thank you, sir.
How about correct an IRA contribution? That's another one for up until April 15th, too.
Yeah, go ahead and explain that.
So if you have, like, for example, in 2024, you put money into your Roth or IRA, and then you realize you're doing your taxes, and then TurboTax or your CPA tells you, well, you made too much money to be able to contribute to a Roth, then which is, you know, and it has income limits, so you want to check on that. Or maybe you didn't work and have W-2 income. There's different reasons you'd put into a Roth or an IRA and then find out later, oh, I couldn't do it. Well, the IRS gives you a chance to take that money out. Basically, it's called taking the excess contribution out because it is a 6% penalty. So you have up until doing your taxes to be able to pull that money out.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. Got to keep an eye on that.
Yep. There's also time for a SEP, Tom, SEP, self-employed plan, which is, real good for realtors and also sole proprietors. So you can put into an SEP plan similar to, but it has income limits that are a lot higher than an IRA, for example.
Yeah. So I think you can put up to 25% away
of your compensation.
So if you made $100,000 and you're kind of a one man show.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do it to yourself, you also got to do it to your employees. So, 25% match for the employees is kind of stiff.
Yeah.
But there is time to do some things. So talk to your tax person and you owe money and you're figuring out how to get other deductions for as a business owner that doesn't have a lot of employees. There's some opportunities out there.
Yeah. There's also, like you were talking about with employees, there's also time to still make an employer contribution to a retirement plan for your employees.
Yep.
So you still have time to do that, too. So all different techniques, different strategies to help reduce that taxable income if you're looking for it. Still out there till Tuesday.
Correct.
And extensions, too. So look into those as well.
Now, one of the problems that messes people up is you can't, if you make too much money, you can't contribute to an IRA or Roth IRA. And people don't realize this. They go by single household or they go by, married tax filing, joint return. So right now in 25, well, let's say in 24, if you made more than $240,000 as your household income, you couldn't fund a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And now in 2025, it went up a little bit. It's $246,000. So a lot of people make that mistake. They read about a Roth. It grows tax deferred. There's no taxes coming out. It's a great product, but they don't realize that they might make too much money to do it. So one of the ways around that is called a backdoor IRA. And what this allows you to do is make a non-deductible contribution, which you can do today, do till Tuesday. You open up a single account. You can't commingle it with other IRA accounts. You make a non-deductible contribution to that account, and then you can convert it to the Roth IRA within days. So it's basically a way around this rule. If you make too much income, you could possibly still fund a Roth indirectly by doing a non-deductible then converting. So it's one of the loopholes that can take place.
So you want to open an IRA. Well, you would theoretically want both, an IRA and a Roth, but you're putting money into the IRA and then converting.
Yeah. By Tuesday, you at least want to open up an IRA, fund it, and then you can always convert whenever.
Okay.
Conversion only takes, 2 or 3 days. So, but that way, the result's the same. You have money in a Roth.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason why you don't want to, you want to keep a separate account and not commingle it with another Roth, because when you convert it, they basically, if it gets commingled, it's an accounting error. So if you keep it all isolated, when you convert it, it's not a big deal. Now, one of the problems people do with the backdoor IRA account, or if you do a backdoor Roth, which means you put in a non-deductible IRA, you convert it to the Roth, is they don't understand the rules completely. And there's another rule that always bites people, and that rule is when you convert an IRA to a Roth, they look at all your IRA accounts. So even though you isolated out that IRA account, say with $8,000, and say you have another account that has $100,000, when you do the conversion, it's all prorated. So if you think you can just convert the $8,000 to the Roth and there's no tax, no nothing, the $8,000 is in the Roth, that's not the case if you have another IRA account. If you, let's just for simplicity say it's $5,000 you're converting in a IRA to a Roth, but you have another $95,000 on the side in a different IRA account, well, that's going to be, you're going to pay of the $5,000, like $4,700 of that is taxable.
Ooh.
So that's another thing you got to watch out for.
Now, I don't think you can just have that separate. Like, I'm going to open up my own little IRA and just put it in there and
you do 100% conversion with no tax.
Okay.
But there are ways around that, and that's the beauty of this business. There's a lot of loopholes, legal loopholes. So the way around that is if you have a 401k anywhere, you can, a lot of 401ks, most of them will accept IRA rollovers. So technically, I've actually had clients move their IRA account to their 401k. Now, guess what? They don't have an IRA. So that alleviates that rule so they can fund the $8,000 non-deductible and convert to the Roth. So just another loophole on how to do things.
Ooh.
So, but we're going to take our first break here. We'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5:60 a.m.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the Yuma community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local, trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment Advisor Services, offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Welcome back to Yuma Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Happy Friday out there. Hope everybody's having a great day, a good week. It's been a pretty interesting week, Tom. Lots of news, lots of volatility in the market and things to follow. So,
yeah, every day is a new day.
Yes, it is.
So you actually have something you read that was interesting you want to talk about with what's going on in today's world, if you looked at it as your household.
Oh, yeah, a little exercise. Let's include Russ on this one since he's over there.
Oh. Hey, we got to wake him up.
Hey, Russ.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
You ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready for a little exercise, I call it?
I'm ready.
Okay. So let's say you make $100,000. That's your income.
Okay.
Okay? But I come to you and you come to me and you're like, George, I'm in debt $100,000.
Right.
You have $100,000 in debt, but your income's $100,000.
Okay.
Is that a good position to be in?
No.
No. Why is that?
You owe more than you make in 12 months, really, because you have to take out taxes, living expenses,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah,
you're not going to pay that off anytime soon.
I would question it. It depends on where your debt's at. If it's debt's in a mortgage, that's not a bad position to be in.
Oh, I was taking it as credit card debt.
But bad debt, yes.
Okay, yeah. You got to be specific, George. You're going to play the game.
That's why I got you here, Tom.
It could be business debt would not be a problem if it's sustaining.
It
the business is sustaining it.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for your income to sustain $100,000.
Yeah. Bad debt, that's a bad deal.
Bad debt, yeah. Okay, so what's your choices?
What is bad debt? I mean, listeners might not know.
Credit card debt is obviously bad.
Probably anything over 7.5-8%.
Buy now, pay later.
Probably that bad.
Buy now, pay later. How about a vehicle? If you own a vehicle at 5%.
It's not terrible debt. I mean, there's a guideline.
Anything that the consequences. I mean, mortgage isn't bad debt. You're right. But you got to make that mortgage payment.
Yeah.
So you got to include that into your calculation of whether you can afford to make these payments or not.
No, I agree. But so, I mean, if I had making $100,000 a year and I had a $100,000 mortgage, I'm in a pretty good position.
That's golden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all in perspective.
Okay.
And
that's
all
golden.
Right. All
right.
Okay, so get detailed on your questions if you're going to do this, George.
I know it's debt, but I always consider that a mortgage, not debt. I makes sense.
Okay, keep going.
Hey, I knew you could critique this good. You thought I read it somewhere.
It's okay.
I made it up myself.
No, I haven't. I'm just
I made it up myself. That's
I'm
why.
I'm just a micromanager.
You're going to talk about debt outside the mortgage.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So give me your choices. What are you going to do to get your house in order?
Well, first of all, you got to see if you can pay the minimums every month, number one. Hopefully you can. If you can, there's a few different ways. One, you could consolidate it into a second on your house or something like that, get a lower interest rate and pay it all off at once. If you have the discipline to cut up the cards or not use them again.
Yeah, excellent.
Or you look at the cards that have the highest interest rates and start paying them off beyond minimums to get rid of those first, the highest interest, mm-hmm. and then start working on the next one, the next one, the next one, whatever that is. But ideally, don't pay off your 5% loans. Pay off your 25% loans.
Yep.
And get rid of those and then start looking at discipline in your life, you know, as far as.
So let's stop with the first one, because that first one's a big deal. What does that remind you of with the government? What's happening with the government?
Well, what's the first
paying
one?
Paying off debt.
You mean paying off debt?
Negotiating your rate. Maybe I would go to the credit card company and transfer a credit card to a 0% interest for 12 months.
And
those are available.
Those are available if you have a good credit rating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say the government has a pretty good credit rating for
they
now.
They do.
What's the government doing that's similar to what you just explained?
Bonds and stuff or borrowing?
How about tariffs?
Tariffs? Oh, yeah.
Negotiations. They're negotiating. They're trying to get the I'm sure the interest down. They
household income up by tariffs, right? It brings in more money.
Yeah, household income. There's a way.
But that's actually negotiating with your business partners, which other countries are kind of business partners and stuff, and saying, look, doing business with you, we're losing billions a year. How can we renegotiate that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's relevant, correct? Okay, what else were you going to do? Tom mentioned it earlier. What else do you have to do? You got to get your spending in order,
do budgetary stuff.
Yeah, budgetary stuff.
And figure it out.
Cut stuff you don't need.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Starbucks.
There you go. Cut stuff you don't need.
Going out to lunch. Well, bring a sack lunch.
Yeah, you do a whole budget to figure out where everything's going.
Isn't that Doge?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that would be, I don't have to necessarily cut it out, but maybe I could eliminate that.
But they're looking every day
except for maybe Fridays.
They're looking at fraud and waste and going through the bills.
But Doge is like going to a restaurant around Yuma and they have a prime rib sandwich for $26. And that's what you're eating every day for lunch, where you can go to get the old $5.99 Big Mac or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're looking at subscriptions.
Change of habit.
Subscriptions you may not be using. Telephone lines that you haven't used in 3 years, you're still paying for.
Good.
All that kind of garbage that's hanging on. Go through everything that hits your bills, every bill, and see if you need it, don't need it.
Can reduce it.
Exact
same thing the government's doing, what you would have done.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? How about Tom mentioned getting in better shape? Like, what if instead of me going to the bar and drinking?
There's a lot of better alternatives than that.
Spending money half-hazardly.
Maybe I'm going to go do something free. Go walking.
Yeah.
You know, or something. Or
ride a bike.
Instead of joining, cut your gym membership and just do push-ups and run down the canal bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Gym.
Or just go up to really mean guys and insult them and see how fast you can run.
Hey,
if
you look at all those guys in prisoners that are pretty buff, and those guys use minimal. It's all, you know, push-ups against the floor, against the wall. I mean, they use creative ways to get in shape. So.
They do, yeah. And that's Kennedy, right? Isn't that what Kennedy's doing?
Kennedy's a strong guy, 71, and... He can.
So the point you're saying is what's happening in the administration makes sense? Is that what you're coming at?
Well, people think that all this stuff with Doge is this big bad ghost or something. But really, if you were in the same position as the government is, I mean, face it. Look.
Getting your house in order.
What happens if, Russ, you default?
Oh.
If you're like, I don't want to do all this stuff. I don't want to make my life better. I don't want to try to consolidate. I don't want to try. I'm just going to declare bankruptcy.
It'll cost you much more than paying it off.
Credit scores going to go down the tubes.
Yeah, but you could do it.
Yeah, but we have so much debt out there for this $36 trillion deficit. But if we get our credit cut, and we had a credit cut before, I think twice in the United States, then the interest rates would go up. Because if you're going to loan money to someone with worse credit, you're going to pay higher.
Yeah, you want a world of hurt, then have the government declare bankruptcy.
And default doesn't necessarily...
I don't think it's an option.
The debt doesn't always go away. They could default on a car loan. They repossess the car. They sell it.
Right.
And there's still a $5,000 upside down that they can put on and bill you for.
Yeah.
you know, it doesn't make it go away.
No, it doesn't.
Not always.
Right. Yeah. So if you think of it kind of as an individual and you're in trouble and you're looking to, you know, consolidate your debt and do things that, yeah, change is good. What, Russ, you're going to come out of this probably leaner and meaner, right?
Of course.
And you got to have a plan. You got to be able to do that and stay with it.
Of course.
Yeah, stronger.
Well, the important thing is you start paying attention.
Right.
Once you start paying attention, you'll see things you didn't know existed.
I just don't think, like, for example, because they get so much bad publicity, like Musk and the Doge guys, I don't think they want to go out there and say, boy, I'm going to get these guys. I'm going to cut these
but
jobs.
But that's political, too.
It is political, but if you put it in perspective, it's like, that's what I would be doing if I was in trouble. And I was in big debt trouble. I'd be doing the exact same thing that they're doing. Maybe you don't think they're doing it the correct way, but they're doing what you would be doing also if it was an individual. So I think it helps relate it to what the government's doing.
If you're a corporation, you go bankrupt, and someone else kind of takes you over in a reorg, they do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They basically will
clean it all up.
Go in and analyze where the seepage is and unproductivity and who can get, you know, cut some overhead, whether it's...
Yeah, there's not a lot of choices to alternatives to doing it that way, Tom. You're right. So,
hey, you're talking like a true Trumper, George.
Oh, wow. I wasn't going to accuse him of that.
I don't think Teresa's listening.
That's his wife. She's... got you on the record.
I just kind of think that people don't really, you know, relate to what's going on. You can maybe think they're not doing it right or do it differently and have your own ideas, that's fine. But, you know, if you think about what would I do if I was in the same situation as our government? Because who wants to leave? I have kids. So does Tom. Who the heck wants to leave, saddle the kids with that? You know,
or grandkids.
Yeah.
Right?
But this comes and that's down what's going to happen.
But this is politics, too.
Well, it is. But it's also something I think needs to be done.
Yeah. Oh, it does.
You know? Yeah. Our GDP, how far away is our GDP from not being able to keep up with the interest payment?
Oh, we spend more now on interest than we do on the defense budget.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Well, pretty soon it's also going to be upside down. So.
Yeah.
They have a lot of debt that they're renegotiating in about a year or under.
It's a June, July, August.
Oh, is it June, July, August?
It's almost $8 trillion or so.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, so they need to get those.
Used to be.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I think, you know, the thing that I think could be a little different this time is even with the Doge thing is there's other billionaires that are on that committee. And that these guys started with nothing and built something, smart people. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of things happening, you know, strategically, kind of like a chess game. Instead of playing one or two advances in chess in your head, you know, moves in your head, these guys are going out 5, 6, 7, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of areas. And the smart guys can do that. I mean, you know.
They can. And speaking of billionaires and corporations, people always say, oh, you're benefiting the corporations. Let's take a look at Apple. Their stocks just got hammered.
Well, Tesla got hammered because they did a lot of stuff out of China, right?
But what's happening with these tariffs? That's going to, you know, where's that money going to go from? It's going to come out of Apple's pocket and go into us, into reducing our debt.
Well,
our deficit. So it's really going out of Apple's pocket and into the American's pocket because of the tariffs. That's who's being affected.
Yeah, I don't know if it's directly coming out of Apple's pockets, but Apple's taking the brunt or any...
They're taking the brunt of
any,
having to pay more.
Made in another country with
tariffs. A lot of their stuff's not made in the U.S., so...
Yeah.
But a lot of the difference, too, I think, is... United States technically doesn't own any corporations, right? They don't own Coca-Cola. They don't own Tesla. But I think over in China, I think they commingle. Like, I think the state has like 10% share of Alibaba and some of these companies. So it is indirectly hurting the government, too.
Okay.
Like in our case, it would only affect the business.
Mm-hmm.
But because they get entwined with these companies and they have a percentage, you don't know the amount. But believe me, the big companies, the state owns something of it.
Yeah.
Could be a lot, maybe, but so what's interesting with China is, you know, supposedly their GDP was going at 5%. I mean, no one kind of questions it because you don't get to see the numbers, but that was their claiming. Now they're saying it could go down to 2.5 or less. So this could become a big problem for them. Our GDP was at 3% until these tariffs hit, and now they're talking at maybe 2%.
Two, yeah,
so we're taking less of a hit on our GDP than they would.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we're not out of the zone of a recession either, because if these, you know, if the tariffs get resolved, and my opinion of resolve is each country comes to a conclusion on what they're going to pay. Hopefully they pay a little more. I think that's what Trump's trying to do, is bluff them out to pay more.
It's all negotiations.
Yeah. But once it gets negotiated, then I think it's kind of business as usual to some degree, and the economy should be, you know, back on track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you look at all the different variables. Okay, if tariffs go higher, then it's going to get passed on to the consumer. It always does. So we're going to have higher prices on certain items, or maybe all of them. I don't know. So that's negative for the American consumer. The positive for the American consumer is a lot of these companies are bringing stuff back to the United States to build. So that means that jobs and all that should get into play.
Mm-hmm.
Might take a while, right? You're not going to build a factory overnight.
Yeah,
but that's a plus. If there's more jobs and more money, that should help offset some of that.
Yeah.
And then if the government gets more efficient on how they're spending the money and hopefully cut the deficit, that indirectly is going to help. It's going to help the United States out, but also I think it's going to individually help out the Americans, because who owns the debt? You know, Americans do.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done. So I think it's complicated, but we'll see the end result, right? When it's all said and done. And I think the end result, this isn't a political show, so we need to stay, but it'd be interesting to see how do you know if it was achieved or not? And basically, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be on the next elections. In 2 years, less than 2 years, they're going to vote more people in the House and the Senate. So it'll be interesting to see where things are at. And if things are in pretty good shape, mm-hmm. I assume, you know, that's going to show
up. The other interesting thing is, and it's causing a lot of problems with the market and the volatility, Tom, is the uncertainty. This has never really happened. You don't have history to go by and see this type of reactions. And so basically we're creating new history. This might, you know, could be a time where we just look back on it and say, wow, you know, that was amazing. But we got another break here. We'll be right back. Eman's Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the Yuma community with the financial insights and the strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Welcome back, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. I can't get no satisfaction.
Yeah, I hate that.
You know, Tom, what's interesting, you bring up China, and the thing I don't quite understand, because Chinese are pretty smart. They're not going to, you can't just say China doesn't know what the heck they're doing. They're pretty smart people. But we export 20% of what they do to us. They export 80% more than we do.
Oh, big.
It's huge. Yeah. So when you're doing these negotiations and they're like raising their tariff, you know, what'd they go up to?
125
something percent, or 64%.
Yeah, they raised it this morning to 125.
125.
Yeah.
It's like playing poker. You've got a three kings, but you know that guy over there's got an ace up. And how do they, it doesn't make a lot of sense that you're pushing a losing hand. Because just think how much more they're going to lose, and they're, you know, what they export. You don't go to China and see Made in America. You don't see a product that says that.
Well, China says 125 is their last. They're never going to raise it again, no matter what.
It's irrelevant.
They said it's irrelevant. No one's going to buy from us anyway.
Yeah.
You know, 125, doesn't matter if it's 1,000 or whatever. Yeah,
but
matter.
You know what I think? The bigger issue is, I think they could have been, the world, what was the world order in the past? If you know your history, George, who was the powerhouse financially, what country, and I'm talking in the last 500 years,
mm-hmm.
who was the powerhouse? was the United States. We went around.
Not the United Kingdom.
Yeah. Wasn't the first powerhouse.
England.
No, that's...
Oh, Rome.
No. Well, I mean, my understanding
is...
how
far back
the Norwegian, the Norwegian area, I don't know the exact thing.
Yeah.
But they had all the trade ships when they made boats and you can travel around and barter and, you know, bring stuff back from Asia and sell it.
Makes sense.
So they were... And they switched countries. So, but that area up there by Amsterdam and all that, they basically controlled the currency. It was in their currency. And they had the most fleet of boats. And they were like easily the powerhouse of the world.
And location, demographics, probably right by the water.
Yeah, I don't know if you can Google that, Russ, to see what the name of that country technically was, because I know it changed. So they had it. And then they lost it to England. And England was a powerhouse for... you know, X amount of years. Mm-hmm. And I say the powerhouse, meaning they controlled the currency. Most of the world currency was based on, you know, the pound.
Yeah, exports, and then, people
and then,
buying from
and then
them.
We took it over, technically, during after World War II.
Yeah.
We became the powerhouse. So the theory is that China is trying to change the order of the world and maybe become the powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So by them doing what they're doing, maybe it's their way of breaking away to see if they can stand alone and change the world order of the powerhouse of money.
Mm.
Yeah, because they actually, I think, own the most gold in the world, and they've been buying gold crazy. Like, I mean, any gold they make in the U.S., they can't export. So they have a rule, it has to stay in China. And if you look at what they've been buying, they buy a ton of gold from everybody. So, I don't know. Something's happening, right? I mean, there's a power struggle. And I think
that's why I said
more
they're
with
pretty smart people.
So
this part, yeah, maybe that is a good thought, though. Maybe that is something, a bigger picture that they're looking at.
Yeah, but they're trying to play the next chess.
But with
move.
Exports, like when you rely that much on exports, I don't know how you can stand on your own, but maybe you could.
Yeah, well, maybe they're strong enough now. I mean, they got how many billion people? Was it 1.5, 2 billion? I don't remember. Compared to us, that has 350 million.
Yeah.
So if you can get your own people to consume... and it stays all inside. I mean, you got 2 billion people market. We only got 350 million.
Yeah, and we're
so technically
for our size,
they
we're
could probably
big consumers.
If everyone consumed their stuff,
mm-hmm.
it would be 2.5 times the consumption of the United States.
Yeah,
think of it that way, George. Maybe they're trying to create a vacuum. I don't know.
This says the British Empire. Britain was the largest country in history and the biggest world power ever. By 1922, the British Empire had 458 million inhabitants.
Yeah. So Google and ask them before England who was the powerhouse, and I think it's going to come up.
They put the Mongol Empire, Genghis Khan from 06 to.
Are you
13,
using open AI where you get bad information?
No.
Go to Gronk.
He's doing DeepSeek.
Hey,
but the Spanish Empire covered 19.94 million square meters. That was the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
So basically it flips around, right?
Yeah.
No one
right.
stays on top forever.
Yeah.
Sure, the Romans at one point were probably...
Romans is in here too, but that was ancient history.
That was ancient history, yeah.
I heard the real wealth was created, and I read this and heard it, when the ships started taking off from the Amsterdam area, and they owned like 90% of 80% of the ships. And then they would go around and get other stuff elsewhere and then go sell it, like mm-hmm. trade barter. And there was a ton of wealth that kicked off.
And it sounds like
but
England.
Yeah, I think it was them. Maybe it was in the 14th, 15th century. I don't know. And then it was England and then us. Who knows where it's going to go. But anyways, speculation as anything else.
Right now it's us, but it's not a guarantee we stay.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the numbers in the last 10 years, China is growing quicker than we are. So,
So
maybe that's what they're trying to do, is put a stop to that. Because if it continues on, they have the edge. But
yeah, that's an interesting theory. So would we be able to stand on our own? That's a good question.
Of course, just be some changes. That's all.
Yeah, but like Tom said, you don't create industry, and some things you can't just do in even a couple months. But okay, let's say
I think 80 or 90%
of the ingredients for our medicine come from China.
If it was us, Mexico, and Canada, I think we would be in a pretty good spot.
Well, who are we going to get our things for drugs for then?
Well, they're going to have to bring it. They're already bringing them back, by the way. Like I know Pfizer and some other, Bristol Myers already allocated, to start doing the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But just like the rare metals, China's talking about cutting those off. So if we just said we need rare metals today, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But the United States has a lot of rare metals. We're just not going after it.
Yeah.
So it might take 1-2 years to develop that. I don't know how quick they can get a mine going. But mm-hmm. So it would happen. It'd just be chaos before things kind of kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, the administration said there was what? Russ, 170 countries that wanted to talk and negotiate the tariffs?
Well, I think 75, 80 countries right now.
75, 80?
Yeah, right off the bat. But
so it depends on who you're listening to, but they're saying that China is getting isolated.
I think there's only 170 countries out there. So, but 75 or 80,
75 or 80
were knocking on the door
with
their hat in their hand. Their hat in their hand. Sir, no sir.
They're asking to negotiate.
Yeah. They're lying outside the White House.
But, I don't know. I think, I've been in the financial advisory world for 30 years, starting when I was 21. And anytime there's a crisis, it always seems bigger than what it is, but it always passes. And I remember, one of the first ones I experienced was 2000 when they thought the computers would shut down and we'd have no transportation. And, with the 2000 on the computers,
mm-hmm.
and that was, going to be the big mayhem.
1999,
that really didn't do anything. And then there's always the real estate bubble, the internet bubble. If you get caught up in the hype, it's going to affect you. I think you need to just step back and if you are going to make some changes, I would make gradual changes. I wouldn't do all in, all out, but I think it's more hype. The media needs to sell stuff, and the more they make it sound like a disaster, the more people listen, and that's how they mm-hmm. operate.
Yeah. And the other thing is a lot of with the recession talk, and I know there's in the last – since World War II, there's been basically – well, bear market is a 20% correction from peak to trough. We're in right real close, like 19%.
The NASDAQ went below to over 20.
Over 20, yeah.
But the S&P – almost breached it.
Almost. So they call that a correction.
Yeah.
But since World War II, there's been 20 bear markets, and half of them, 10 of them, occurred with no recession. So
it's like flipping a coin. Get a coin.
Well,
out.
You hear a lot about, the percentage of recession. What's the percentage chance of recession? What's the percentage chance of recession? But people get so afraid of the word recession. Every one, you said it, 13 months, we have one.
But let's look at this. So COVID shut down the supply lines pretty much overnight.
Yeah.
And the market dropped 50%. So terrorists were not shut down the markets.
No, some boats are turning around, though.
Yeah, yeah. But my point is,
that's expensive.
I think COVID was almost like saying no trading or, minimal trading.
Yeah,
like
because
almost
of
nothing. I think this whole response is going to be not worse than COVID. And we just lived that, what, 2021 or something?
Yeah, and that was a V-shaped recovery.
Took a 50% hit, and then it bounced back pretty quick.
Bounced back pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't get too worried. I mean, I wouldn't, get...
Well, we always say we're the non-emotional coach because people do get worried, and they ask, well, what should I be doing? But saying let's...
So in our business, how do we make the most money? And I'll see if Russ knows this. It's just a one-word sentence phase. How do you make money?
Sales.
Buy low, sell high.
Okay, yeah, buy low, sell high. Yeah.
So as this thing gets lower, there has to be a plan of action if you want to implement how to make the most money, right? Buy low, sell high. So freezing sometimes not the best, not doing nothing sometimes not the best either.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, the active players that are making money are active in a high market, low market, a market that's going down, market's going up. They always find a way to make money.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I get the feeling with a lot of people that, financials, maybe it's blurry or maybe they don't completely understand it or maybe it's, they don't want to think about it too much. So a lot of most people do is just nothing. Like their plan of action on anything is just keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Even to the point where, hey, I'm putting money into my 401k, but I know I'm not going to have enough to retire at 65. What the heck? I'm not going to change that either. Just keep it going. So action in this business is the difference between retiring with success or retire with confidence, which is our logo.
Retire with confidence.
Phrase,
yeah, baby.
Then to just, be robotic and do certain things and that's it.
And have a plan in place. These things happen. This is going to happen. Everybody thinks this is different. Oh, but this is different, though. The sky really is going to fall. Well, no, it's not. And why don't you take this opportunity? Like my son, he's... at U of A. You know, he's 21 now. And when he was in this auto accident, the airbag went off. It wasn't their fault. But the insurance company gave him $5,000. I was like, wow, because his ear was ringing, and he went and got it checked out.
So he milked the system, George?
He milked the system.
Hey.
So he's like, what do I do with that, Dad? And I told him,
play the stocks, son, learn how to play.
I don't know if this is the lowest that you'll ever see, like an NVIDIA or an Apple or a Tesla, but put a couple grand into NVIDIA, and when you're 60, that could be worth a heck of a lot of money. Those are solid companies that are really kind of getting beat down. So if you, like you talked about, dollar cost averaging in, like the Marines, they don't run from the storm. I like to think of advisors too. Storms are brewing and stuff. Don't run away. Dollar cost averaging in, if you have some cash on the sideline or some bonds, maybe it's a good strategy to, we use a bucket strategy where we put some fixed income or some conservative into the little bit, some of the moderate or a little bit more aggressive to buy into the stock market now or dollar cost average in.
I try to tell my kids or my nieces and nephews, like I never really played golf till I was out of college, and I was terrible at it because, I'm not that limber. But
so it hasn't changed much.
Yeah, it hasn't changed much. But once you kind of learn how to play, it is fun. You hang out with people you like.
Yeah, it's good camaraderie.
For 2-3 hours. So to me, the quicker someone learns how to play golf, assuming they like it, I think the happier their index is and go up in life because it's just a good way to hang out and socialize
with
people.
Good advice, yeah.
But I think it's the same way with the stock market. A lot of people will do nothing, learn nothing, and then when they turn about 35 or 40, be like, oh, I need to get smarter about this, and then start thinking about the markets. So the quicker you can get your kids involved and the best way to get it involved and make it their money. So if he did buy those stocks, your son, I guarantee you he's looking at that thing every day, every week. But you learn from the bad things. It's always, don't touch the fire. It's going to get hot. Well, until a kid touches a fire and gets burned, then they realize, it is hot, right?
Yeah.
But you tell them all day long, don't do this, So it's the same with stocks. The quicker they can figure it out, I think at a young age, I'm talking between, 18 and 30, they're going to be in a such more better position if they use it,
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And they can talk to other people and their friends and educate them. If someone asks them about it, they've got, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And they look at, he's asking about tariffs and what the government's doing. He was getting more engaged in why is the stock acting that way? When are they going to turn around?
Sure.
Look at, I lost this much today. Thanks, Dad. I lost, $100 today. I'm like, no, you're not going to take the exact bottom.
So you're saying it's more than video games? Usually it's all about video games. And they're worried about the money.
It is. They need to make a video game about the stock market. That's actually a pretty good idea.
Hey, we're going to take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m. Be right back.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we understand that retirement is a journey. Our team is dedicated to helping you retire with confidence, providing personalized strategies tailored to your unique needs. Whether you're just starting to plan or nearing retirement, we're here to ensure your financial future is secure. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Welcome back, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Happy Friday out there. It's been quite a week, Russ. We're glad that it's Friday. I think
this Trump administration is wearing me out, man. It's just, I don't get to sleep anymore. I'm trying to follow the news.
There's a little bit of anxiety, but you try to do your best. But it is. There's no with your job, there's plenty of news to talk about.
Oh, man. It's actually a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know when you're watching a series like Yellowstone that's pretty good, and you're like, oh, I can't wait till the next one to come out?
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, this is like when you wake up in the morning, you're like, I want to go look at the news.
Yeah,
because you know there's some weird activity taking place. You know, tariffs are up, tariffs are down, or...
Yeah,
you know, someone gets mad at somebody.
Somebody's happy, somebody's crying.
Someone's crying.
Some are interesting. Yeah.
But the thing that's also kind of interesting is it puts your focus on relevant things that are going on in the government and the world. Because back in the previous administration, all you really talk about, things were so boring, all you talk about is how old the president is. I didn't realize that Trump is the oldest president to start a second term, 78. He's going for his physical.
Probably,
or something.
I never thought about it. But yeah,
you don't hear about, he's old. He's the oldest president to start a second term. But things like that, because there's other stuff going on. They're being proactive.
Something that's different, too, is Biden's administration was completely secretive, silent.
Yeah.
No communications. I couldn't talk to people. Like, I couldn't talk to Border Patrol. I didn't talk to the Border Patrol chief for 4 years because there was gag orders on everything.
Uh-huh.
Now with Trump, it's like they're calling me saying, please talk to me. Please talk to me.
Oh, and transparency. Like, in our position, transparency when it comes to our fees and the fiduciary responsibility, that's basically how they're acting. Really not a lot of cover.
Yeah. I think, too, that, they were talking about things that were semi-irrelevant. I mean, let's talk about the transgender thing.
Right.
What percentage of people are transgender, percentage-wise?
Might be up to 2%.
Yeah. let's just say it's 3%. But the point is, that was hitting the media like every other person's transgender.
Well, there wasn't a lot of
news. And they need to go into
let's face it. There wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah, but they need to go into the, different restroom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sex.
They still try to bring
that up. And all the crap that was irrelevant. I mean, that's not new. I mean, that's... Yeah.
And George, I think there was a lot going on. We just weren't allowed to talk about it. And they kept us distracted with transgender DEI.
Yeah, making up these weird stories that no one cared about.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I will tell you, inflation is real. You go to the gas station, money out of your pocket. You pay more for food, money out of your pocket. And I do think that, inflation's coming down some of the prices. I mean, that's questionable how quick. But I do think that it was kind of switch and bait, Let's not talk about inflation or problems that affect Americans. Let's talk about some story that's, almost irrelevant to everybody.
But the word out there is these tariffs are going to raise inflation. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I do because it's going to have to be tacked onto the consumer, right? The consumer is going to pay higher prices. Well, what's higher prices? Inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can that be counterbalanced? And the answer is yes. There could be a counterbalance to that.
How?
But that solo by itself, yes. Okay, here's a counterbalance. The government, a lot of motivation, but they want to get rates lower so that then when they refinance this $8 trillion, they get a lower rate, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to save billions of dollars. So one of the things that, and they can't just tell the Fed pal to just lower rates because he works by himself.
Staying put. He's not.
So what they're going to do is they're going to deregulate the banks. I don't know if you've heard of this story.
Mm.
And basically they're going to make it so that the lending can be higher. If you have a treasury bill, you can lend more on that treasury bill than you can say commercial paper or some other kind of paper. So basically, that's going to cause rates to go down. It's another way to lower rates, deregulate the banks. And they're working on that. So that would counterbalance inflation because now people can go out and get lower loans on cars and mortgages and whatever else they finance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example.
Yeah, good.
Now, you want another example, George?
Or like Russ working on his debt and getting his debt down, negotiating those interest rates lower. Sure. It gives him a good opportunity to do that, too.
Well, and there's going to be things like gas being a lot cheaper.
So here's the other side to it. So if jobs do come back more to the United States, which if you read the news, I think there's $500 billion going into Michigan from Apple and Mercedes or someone's bringing in more stuff. So that should mean more jobs and better jobs, better paying jobs. So even if there's some inflation and you get paid more money, that's a wash.
Yeah. Well, who's going to fill the lower paying jobs? You got to have somebody that works the lower paying jobs because that's some of the reason.
Well, that's why I think they let in 10 million immigrants, and I guarantee you they're not kicking 10 million out. So there'll be people that want to take the lower jobs.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you think they're going to deport 10 million people? I don't.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, so those people are going to be willing to work.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told the story, but it's an amazing story. I think I told it. I'll say it again. So when we were little. We used to go to Mission Beach for a week or two as kids. I'm talking like 3, 4, or 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. There is a Vietnamese family on the beach, and they would basically come and pick up cans. And back in the days, you can just drink beer and Coke and whatever, and all my aunts and uncles. By the end of the day, there'd be like, you know, 50
it was aluminum, not glass.
Yeah, aluminum. There'd be like 50 cans on the beach because everyone's sitting out there all day drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
They would come in flip-flops, plastic bags, a little kid strapped on their back and on their front, like a, and they looked like they truly just got off the boat. And we'd give them cans, and they were happy. They picked up our trash, and we were happy. Anyways, fast forward, I got out of college. And I was sitting on the boardwalk, kind of just hanging out there.
Mission Beach.
And this young Asian guy is sitting kind of next to me, and he's smoking a cigarette. And then I'm like, ah. So I said, hey, what are you, you know, start talking to the guy. He's like, oh, I'm waiting to show this house. And it was right on the boardwalk. And all those houses on the boardwalk are millions of dollars, right? He goes, yeah, I'm waiting to show this house. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a realtor? He goes, oh, no, I own it. Huh. And this guy's like 30 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, there's more to this story. So I said, oh, yeah, well, how do you own a house at 30? He goes, well, actually, we don't own this one. We own that one, that one, that one, that one. Like, he pointed, like, to, you know, right on the boardwalk. He owned, like, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh. And then we started talking. He goes, I told him we've been going to Mission Beach since we were little kids. He goes, well, you probably know our family. And I'm like, what? He's like, remember the Vietnamese families that would pick up the beer cans? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah, really?
That's his family.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah. And then we had a
you
deep...
You haven't told that story.
Then we had a deep conversation of, okay, well, how did you get from picking up cans to owning just a ton of real estate? And basically, he goes, we all lived together. Like, there was, you know, three families, brothers, siblings,
lived
kids.
Lived in the same place, probably.
Lived in the same place. We saved money. We prop up one to open in a business.
Mm-hmm.
So one would open up, I don't know, whatever business, restaurant, whatever, and then that would all flow back into the pot, and then they'd open up another business. So basically, they gradually supported everybody to get businesses,
mm-hmm.
and then once you get business, hopefully you make more money, and then you start buying real estate.
Right.
So it was like a whole process about how these guys...
They didn't go out and party, and they just kept reinvesting.
Yeah, I'm sure they partied a little bit, Russ. You always have to celebrate somewhere.
You know, with the flip-flops on, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, when they pick up the beer cans, they probably swirl it around and be like, hey, there's another drink in there, and kick it. Yeah. But the point was, it was amazing where this family went from picking up cans, looking like, you know, they were in flip-flops, clothes looked all ragged. You know, I think people even gave them money, like, hey, here's a couple
bucks.
There's
not a lot of countries that you can do that. Here,
if
America
you're disciplined,
still is. Yeah,
action,
if you're
and,
then,
action
you know,
and discipline.
They just kept saving it.
Yeah.
Investing, saving,
yeah,
making it grow.
Well, I got some friends here in Yuma that I've picked up over time. Believe it or not, I have some couple
friends,
George.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So one
other
of
than
them,
me and Russ?
One of them came from Egypt, went to New York City with $80 in his pocket, BS'd his way through the airlines because they don't want you to stay too long in the United States with no money because you're going to become a liability. And he said, no, I got money, but it's with my sister and whatever. So they kind of let him through. Started off as a bus boy doing dishes in an Italian restaurant in New York. Then they moved him up to like a server, and then they did like a bartender. Make a long story short, he now lives in Yuma. He now owns, you know, 10 residential homes, and, you know, I'm sure he's worth millions. And he came here with $80.
Right.
And he knew no English. So he learned through the dish boys and all that
self-taught,
so it can be done. You just gotta
be willing to do it, be a bus boy.
Yeah, just be willing to make it happen. So hey, we're closing down here.
Make sure you take care of those tax, you know, help with your tax savings and stuff by Tuesday.
Yep.
That's the deadline.
Everyone have a great weekend. This is Money Talk.
Opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC Investment Advisory Services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.